Hello, who's there?
It's me, Magic the Amateuring.
Oh, what are you doing today?
I'm in the shower.
I would like to tell you about the virtues of the game Magic.
Oh, who's going to tell me about them?
Me. My name's Maria. Do you need to bring some magic into your life? Here's a brochure.
Oh, thank you so much.
Would you like a glass of water?
Yes, you have a lovely home.
Thank you.
Do you want to live here with us?
Whoa.
Turning the tables. They're turning the tables. Run.
Welcome to another episode of Magic the Amateuring, your first episode of That's How You Live Your Life. My name's Ben. You've already met Maria.
Hi.
Evangelical supporter of the game of magic.
That's right.
And new player, but no longer new player because she's been here a year and a half.
That's true.
Whoa. My name's Megan. I'm the person who said, who's there?
Megan is awesome. Also a year and a half old in terms of playing magic age.
That is factually accurate.
So when dogs play magic, is it a different kind of age than when humans?
Yes.
Dogs are colorblind. They can't play magic. They can only play artifact decks.
I really hope no colorblind people listen to this show.
Certainly no colorblind people listen to our show.
If you're a colorblind person, you can tweet us at MTAcast and let us know we're wrong.
Let us know how your life is different playing magic without the use of your color cones in your eyes. Mm. Hey, everybody. This show's for magic new players. Players returning to the game and anybody who likes to chuckle in their mouth hole about magic.
Or maybe you just need something on for an hour.
Right?
You're not picky.
You're cleaning. Maybe you're scrapbooking.
Yeah. I would like to point out that though you added another word on after it, you did say the word mouth. And you had previously promised that you would never say the word mouth.
No, I said I would never say the word E-A-R.
No, you said mouth also. I'm going to go find the episode where you said it and play it back for you later.
Do you guys think they make vacuum cleaners that play MP3s? I feel like that would be, we should be on them.
Vacuum cleaners?
Like we're preloaded?
Yeah, we should come preloaded on vacuum cleaners that
I'll
play
start
MP3s.
Looking up vacuum cleaners that have MP3 players.
As soon as we get on JetBlue's little thing where you plug your headphone in and channel like 10 is Magic the Amateuring on a loop, then I'll know we've made it.
Yes. We also have a special guest on the podcast this week. It's my house guest, Craig.
Yes, it is.
Hi, Craig.
Hi, everybody.
Craig is staying with me because next week we're going to Milwaukee, me and Craig and Megan, and Maria's going to stay at home and make sure no one invades our homes.
I will have guns. And I mean my left arm and my right arm, bitches.
Whoa.
Yeah. For the noobs, combo and mid-range decks.
That's right. This is a continuation of our series that's gone on for the past two episodes where we talked about control decks and aggro decks in both draft and constructed. So today we're going to talk about, you guessed it, combo and mid-range.
Craig, as the honorary old-time returning noob player, feel free to ask any and all questions.
Sure.
You will be asking questions on behalf of the audience members. So let's just calibrate Craig now.
Okay.
Craig, ask a question you think a new listener is having.
So what are combo decks?
Good question.
Great question.
So combo decks are decks that usually abuse some sort of interaction between cards in order to win. In the case of Storm is probably one of the most famous combo decks because it's still being played and it's been played for a while. It's a modern deck, and it abuses spells that produce mana, spells that draw cards, and then a card called Past in Flames, which allows you to flashback everything in your graveyard, and then uses Grapeshot, which has a storm count, to eventually kill your opponent.
What's a storm count?
A storm count is when it was a mechanic back in a previous set where for each spell that you've cast that turn, you create a copy of the card that you just cast. So like Grapeshot says deal one damage, but it has a storm count. So for every spell that you've cast previous to Grapeshot, you deal one damage to your opponent.
How many spells can you really cast in one turn?
Over 20.
How? Don't you gotta pay for that shit?
Yeah, well, there's a card that costs one and a red that produces 3 red mana.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that's a ritual. Song? It's called a ritual. Yeah. And then there's also Seething Song, which is pretty much the same thing. So you're using those cards to produce a lot of mana. You're using like Mana Morphos, which also produces mana. Wait, that one actually doesn't.
Mana Morphos is
draws a card.
Is net zero mana, but it gives you the mana back you used to cast it, and it also draws a card.
Yes.
So it's like it's totally
free. It's like drawing free. A card for free.
It's like free.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it abuses.
Craig, you look like you have a lot of questions.
Craig, so many. So I would have imagined combo decks to deal with two different types of mana. Is that true, or am I misplacing that terminology?
Yes. What?
Yes.
So a combo deck is more about here's two cards that work so well together that they're going to take over the game, kill your opponent right away, give you infinite life, something like that.
So no fun to play with.
Yes, no fun to play against.
Against. Because your opponent is sitting there like going off with their combo, and you're like, all right, just
I still remember the first time I was playing in a Modern GP. And this is the first time I've ever played Modern. And round two was the first time I've ever played against someone who was playing Storm. And on turn three, he hit his combo and just like went off and killed me. And I was like, what just happened? He cast like 30 cards. He was like keeping track of his mana on dice. He was using flashback, casting shit out of his graveyard, and eventually just grave shotted me for like 30.
And I was like,
That is kind of what it feels like to play against a combo deck a lot of times. Your opponent kind of tells you what's going on, and you're like, and you just have to be okay with it.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like, okay.
You're looking at the cards in your hand, and you're like, maybe one of these can do something to stop the combo.
Unless it's a counterspell, you're probably just dead.
Yeah.
So Modern has been referenced. What does that mean to a guy like me who played, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago?
So Modern means basically you can only play with cards that came out after you quit.
Oh, okay.
That's what it means. That's
good, because I sold them.
Oh, perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, Modern is a format where all the cards that have been printed in the last, 8 years, 7 or 8 years or so, are legal.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can, if you want to play in a Modern tournament, you just have to have cards that conform to those requirements. There's also certain specific cards that are banned just because they're
too powerful.
Yeah, too powerful, mm-hmm. unfair, that type of thing. Yeah.
So, another sweet combo deck was friend of the show Matthias Hunt at Pro Tour Born of the Gods played a combo deck known as Amulet of Vigor, which abuses the tap land, the lands that come in
Craig,
tap.
Craig, you like that name I see on your face.
Something about Vigor.
Amulet of Vigor.
Amulet of Vigor, yes. Amulet of Vigor is a one mana artifact that says if a card would come into play tapped, it comes into untap it. Not that it comes into
doesn't
play.
Seem
you
that
untap it.
Doesn't seem that powerful to me.
Well, it might not be, except there were some bounce lands printed that came into play tapped. They tapped for say like there's like a red white one, so you would tap one land for both red and white mana. They come into play tapped, and when they come into play, you need to bounce another land back into your hand. So basically what this deck would do is you can put this, you have Amulet of Vigor, you play a bounce land, it untaps, you can tap it for 2 mana and then bounce it back to your hand.
Mm.
You would then use that mana to cast...
Burst mana, you're gonna burst mana.
Is that what to call it?
You know, like burst damage?
No.
You do a whole bunch of damage at once?
Oh,
you're exactly. doing burst mana.
Oh, yeah. that's a term that I didn't know.
Sure.
And then
I feel like you knew it, but yeah.
So and then you would use you would use that 2 mana to cast something like Summer Bloom, which allows you to play 3 additional lands that turn.
It also sounds lovely.
Yes, that's very true.
It's a very pretty card. and then you do the same thing, so you get to cast, you get to play 3 additional lands, but really you're just playing these bounce lands 3 times, and then it untaps with Amulet of Vigor, and then you tap it for mana. So you have 6 mana, which you use to cast a Primeval Titan. And then when Primeval Titan comes into play, you're allowed to search.
You get more lands.
You're allowed to search for 2 more lands.
Oh,
and then you get these lands. God, it's like
You get lands that you can like use to search for cards that cost zero mana.
Yep, or you you use it to get the card that gives the Primeval Titan haste.
Yeah, so then you can attack with it.
And then you get two more lands. You get to put two more lands into play. So yeah, that's a very fun combo deck. And if you want to check it out, you can check out some of the coverage from Pro Tour Born of the Gods.
We would also be remiss if we did not talk about the premier modern combo deck. Splinter Twin.
Splinter Twin.
Splinter Twin.
Splinter Twin.
Splinter Twin.
Splinter Twin.
Splinter Twin. Takes advantage of cards that come into play or that have an enter the battlefield effect where you can
ETB
tap or untap another target permanent or any target creature, I think. And the trick is you get a card that lets you tap a creature to copy it, and then you use the copy to untap the thing that made the copy. And then you just keep doing it until you have
infinite copies.
Until you have an infinite number of creatures, and then you try to think of a way to use that to kill your opponent. Usually by attacking.
Yeah. Oh. Oh.
What if you're like, that I have an infinite number of creatures?
I mean, you can't beat. You still can't beat fog.
Go.
Like, nothing beats fog.
Yeah, you're That's right. True. You're That's right. True. Nothing beats fog.
And it's called Splinter. It's called Splinter Twin because one of those key cards in the combo is a red enchantment that says, tap this creature to make a copy of it.
So combo decks don't sound like they're for the faint of heart.
Yeah, they also have the problem that they're kind of fragile. Like, they can be very susceptible to something like Thoughtseize, for instance. Because if your opponent Thoughtseizes you, for instance, with an Amulet of Vigor deck, well, it's like maybe they take your Summer Bloom.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of screwed.
So Thoughtseize lets you look at your opponent's hand and take a specific card.
So, ruining my plans.
And usually these combo decks need, you know, they've got different pieces, and they have to combine those pieces in order to do the combo. So usually in a combo, if you're playing a combo deck, I'm looking at my hand. I'm like, well, I have one of the pieces, or I have two of a certain of the same kind of piece, but I need the other piece of the combo before I can actually just win. And if you and if you're able to just deny one of my pieces, like the other pieces don't even do anything. It's like having a car but no driver's license, or a tank of gas but no match.
What? What are you gonna do?
Whatever. Take over the game.
I think Ben's an arsonist. I think he's an arsonist.
Are there people who create combo decks that can mitigate that type of effect, where if they don't get their full combo, they still have a fighting chance?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That's been said as something like Splinter Twin. Some versions of Splinter Twin are really more like a red-blue control deck.
Yeah.
And then it happens to have a combo to win eventually.
Like, you could get,
so,
you know.
So say they're playing a deck that is very disruptive, has a lot of counter spells, type effects, things like that. They might switch to a different plan where it's like, okay, I don't need my combo to beat you. I'm going to try to just beat you with the individual pieces I have. There's also decks that will try to mitigate the combo piece problem by having tutors, cards that can find cards, cards that will let you draw a few cards or draw and discard to try to cycle through your deck and get to the good stuff, the meat of the bone, faster.
Mm-hmm. Or some of them have like a backup plan.
Yeah.
Amulet of Vigor has one of my favorite backup plans.
Oh, yeah.
Which is where it has a card... Oh, I'm not remembering what it's called. It's like Hive Mind, right?
Yeah.
Hive Mind, which says anytime you cast a card, your opponent casts... Anytime anyone casts a card, your opponent casts a copy of that card.
Whenever a player casts an instant or sorcery spell, each other player copies that spell. Each of those players may choose new targets for his or her copy.
No.
But the key is... Whenever you cast a spell, your opponent is forced to cast the same spell.
Yes, and so the Amulet of Vigor deck runs these packs. It runs Summoner's Pact, which costs zero and allows you to go find a green creature. But then it says at the beginning of your next upkeep, you must pay two green-green or else you lose the game.
Ouch.
Yeah, so the intent behind this card is, I can cast it now even though I have no mana open. And then I'll just pay for it on my next upkeep.
Yes.
But it's a little unfair if you force someone else to cast it.
So you basically...
And they're playing a red deck.
If you cast you cast this card, and then your opponent is forced to cast a copy, and then as soon as it comes to their upkeep, they don't have green green, and they just lose.
Just that's it.
Thelmine and beautiful. Oh,
combo. Combo. It's really fun. One of my favorite things to do in Magic is to make a combo.
Why is that, Ben?
Because it's like I can do anything. Once your combo's assembled, you're invincible.
Do you feel like a god?
You could beat 10 opponents at the same time.
There aren't a ton of combo decks in Standard recently. And some people have said that's because Wizards has tried to move away from printing cards that will allow combo decks to be assembled.
It's probably because, like, it's complicated, number one.
It's complicated. It seems unfair.
It's like, you're playing against that person, I don't get to play a game against you.
Exactly.
Also,
kids don't like their older brothers and never play the game or buy the cards.
Yeah. Also, the sort of the darkest periods in Magic history.
The Dark Ages, when the bubonic plague raged like a fire.
They've been dominated by combo decks that, you know, decks that could win on turn three, win on turn two, win on turn one before your opponent gets to play a land.
Oh, snap.
So that's part of the reason why Wizards is wary, I think, to have combo be very popular, very strong, is because they remember what it was like to have those entirely broken formats. Uh-huh. And I think they, in Modern, is an example of where there are combo decks that are good, but not too good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they don't want them to be too good, because when combo decks are too good, it's a nightmare. When other types of decks are too good, it's kind of like, you just kind of deal with it, and like people adjust to play against those
like
decks.
Like Cobblade, yeah.
Except they banned a lot of those cards.
Why are you laughing at me?
Oppressively good.
Is combo what Cobblade is an example of a deck that's too good?
Yeah.
Like a controlling deck that's too good?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good example.
For sure. A counterexample would be Malira Pod, which is a lot of people say the best deck in Modern right now, but they say it's not oppressively good. It doesn't win every single Modern tournament.
Yeah.
It can be beaten, and it also has a lot of payoff the more that you practice it.
Oh, word.
So it really, it rewards hard work.
So we've talked a lot about combos in constructed formats. When you're building your deck before the tournament, you know what the combo is going to look like. Is there such thing as a combo in a limited environment where you're just, someone hands you the cards and is like, hey, make this deck, and you're like, I'm going to make a combo.
Well, sure you can. It's not going to be the same thing. I want it to be the same. Okay, then.
your combo might not be the central piece that, you know, kills your opponent.
Yeah.
For instance. But there's definitely fun interactions that you can try and abuse.
Think about Constellation, for instance, in this latest set. If you can get Constellation going in your limited deck, you know, it can be actually something that's very difficult for your opponent to deal with because they can't really interact.
Yeah, and so limited decks, I think, generally tend to be less about, here's the combo, my game plan is about making this combo happen, and more about, here's my deck. My deck has synergies in it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like, it has cards that make other cards in it better, and I'm going to use that advantage to sort of incrementally take over the game, but it's probably not going to happen all at once.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say the most recent example of true combo decks in Limited was in Return to Ravnica. Last block, the Is It Guild, the red-blue guild, had a lot of pieces where you could actually make a game plan that was like, okay, well, I'm going to figure out a way to do 20 damage to you all in one turn.
Yeah.
Sweet. And it's going to be awesome.
But didn't people not like Is It in Return to Ravnica?
People did not like Is It, no.
Because it's hard.
But the
to
people
get all
that did stuff. Like Is It really liked Is It.
Is It? Red, blue, guys. For all those people out there wondering.
Yeah, Craig, how lost are you, Craig?
Well, the colors are coming back to me.
Oh!
That's how lost I am.
Craig, this whole time, has been colorblind, and the colors are now coming back.
Oh, are we medically breaking through?
Oh my god, we're like the Wizard of Oz.
One of my favorite combos that I remember from Return to Ravnica was, again, friend of the show Matthias Hunt drafted a deck that had Duskmantle Guildmage, which you could activate for blue and a black, and it said anytime a creature enters the graveyard during this turn, your opponent loses one life. And then it had Corpse Blockade, which
wasn't it any card?
Oh, I think was it any card? I'm not, if you let me know. Anyways.
Whenever a card is put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere this turn, that player loses one life.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
And so this would
so could
use
be a creature dying. Black.
Yeah.
Could be them discounting a card. It could be them milling a card off the top of their deck into their graveyard.
And so it revolved around Corpse Blockade, which you could use to sacrifice a creature to give, was it?
Death Touch.
Death Touch? Yeah. Okay. And so you would activate Duskmantle Guildmage multiple times. So, right, you could have multiple instances of that activation. So, like, if a creature entered, or if a card entered the graveyard, it would not just be one life lost. It'd be, like, three for three activations.
Yeah.
And then sack all of the creatures to Corpse Blockade to deal almost, you know, a crap ton of damage. Or make your opponent lose a crap ton of life.
What?
Each player starts the game of Magic with a crap ton of life.
That combo doesn't work. Because it's whenever a card is put into an opponent's graveyard.
Oh. My bad.
Did you dream this deck?
No, it definitely happened. So it might have just been cheating.
You guys, I had my first Magic dream.
What?
Yeah, a few like weeks ago or whatever, I had my first dream of that I was playing Magic.
And how'd you do?
Probably pretty good. I don't remember. I just remember waking up and be like, that was my first Magic.
Yeah. And you didn't journal that shit?
Weird. I should have. But I feel like that's a milestone. Milestone. Magic dream.
Milestone unlocked.
If you've had a good Magic dream, tweet us at MTAcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we were supposed to talk about mid-range decks too, but what?
Yeah.
Wipe that.
What? We'll talk about mid-range next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll see that.
Hold on, let me just...
Oh, I'll say one more sweet combo that you can go watch on Channel Fireball. Owen Turtenwald drafted a deck that had Dictative Erebos and Timuret the Murder King.
Oh, yeah.
Timuret allows you to sacrifice your own creatures to deal 2 damage to your opponent, and Dictative Erebos says whenever a creature you control dies, your opponent must sacrifice a creature. So, that was pretty sweet.
Creature's gonna die.
Yeah. So, I also once had an opponent on Magic Online use Champion of Stray Souls with a Disciple of Phoenix in his graveyard and a Grey Merchant on the battlefield, and he would just each turn...
Cycle a Grey Merchant.
Well, it would go Grey Merchant, and then Disciple of Phoenix, and then Grey Merchant, and then Disciple of Phoenix. Grey Merchant drains you for life when it enters the battlefield.
I've had things like this happen to me in other games.
Craig, tell us about how you started playing Magic. Tell us your Magic story.
So I am from, grew up in Milwaukee, Oregon, a suburb of Portland, Oregon.
Spelled with an I-E on the end of this Milwaukee.
Oh. Indeed. And in downtown Milwaukee, there was a comic book store, and that comic book store had a little comic book company out of the back of it. Now that comic book company owns all of downtown Milwaukee. Dark Horse
Wait,
Comics.
What?
Yeah.
The whole town?
Dark Horse Comics is like basically owns blocks and blocks of downtown Milwaukee.
Are they running that place?
Yeah. I mean, keep in mind, it's a city that doesn't
Never
want
sleeps.
To know that it's a suburb. But
slam.
Eat it, Milwaukee. Also, see you next week.
I went into that comic book shop, or the retail front that was in partnership once upon a time with that comic book company, and they had some Magic cards, and I just picked up a card and looked at it, and it was a card for Disintegrate, and it was like a nickel or 15 cents.
Have you guys ever seen the art on Disintegrate?
No. Show me.
We gotta give these new timers a little perspective.
Disintegrate.
And I was amazed by the way the wind or whatever force seemed to be ripping flesh and particles off of the skin of the
sword. That's cool art. That's really cool.
And I looked at that and went, this is pretty badass. I don't know what this thing is, but I'm going to buy it.
It is super badass art. It depicts a soldier, the sword and shield, and he is just... Fire is just ripping the flesh from his bone, and it's exposing his skeleton.
That's cool.
Which is a bad day. Any day when part of your skeleton is exposed by fire, that's going to be a bad day.
I would say any day your skeleton is exposed, just, you know, in general.
Yeah, I mean,
other than your teeth.
Sometimes that's planned.
Surgery?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, sometimes I show my bone and I'm happy.
Okay. Reintegrate deals X damage to target creature or player. That creature can't be regenerated this turn. If the creature would be put into a graveyard this turn, remove it from the game and get. Instead, it costs X red.
Yeah. It's a fireball. That's pretty nice. It's like a fireball.
Yeah.
So you picked up that card.
And then held on to it for a good 6 months before I bought more cards to go with it.
Nice.
And then that turned into having some cards. And then as the game grew in popularity, I worked for my brother at his video store. We started selling decks on the counter.
Video store? What's that?
Yeah, it's tell us about videos.
you can rent movies on hard copy data format devices. You could,
not anymore, right?
And then, oh, you can.
Whoa.
Great American Video and Espresso. There's a reason it's still open. in Milwaukee, Oregon.
Because they trick people?
Is it because they also sell coffee?
Exactly.
Oh.
And ice cream, and now there's no other video stores.
We were talking about if we could find a video store that's still around in Minneapolis, but you were just naming two that exist in Portland.
This is in Milwaukee.
Just one. Milwaukee,
Oregon. Okay.
Yeah. A suburb of Portland.
Okay. Wow, well, still alive and well. I suppose if anywhere, it's going to be a suburb of Portland where video's still alive.
Dig that.
It's not. You mean they just have an appreciation?
Yeah. And so, how long did you play?
I don't know. Like,
or were you playing? Were you playing with your brother? Were you playing?
I was playing with friends. Okay. I had a friend who really got into collecting them. Like, had an apartment full of Magic cards, but he also had the money to spend.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what happened to those cards. If he still has them. Yeah. I sold about 240 cards, or maybe I made $240 on 60 cards. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I sold it to a local card shop who was also, it was owned and operated by people who rented at that video store.
Yeah.
And, I played for maybe 4 or 5 years, never got into tournaments, just played it casually, and had some friends who wouldn't play it. They're like, nope, I won't play that. It's taking time away from people who should be playing D&D.
Whoa. Yes. Sounds like a blood feud.
Indeed. Now owned by the same company.
Yeah. Did you like playing Magic? What did you enjoy about it, if so?
Well, I really liked the art and the quotes. That's one of the things that got me into
flavor
it.
Flavor text, man.
And
classic Lorthos.
I thought it was Vorthos.
Yeah, whatever.
And then just, it was a fun game. It was it's the first game I remember playing that had an element of, as you're playing it, you're changing the dynamics of the game and the rules.
Yeah.
First game I ever played like that, so that was really
That's one
fun.
Of the things that gripped my brain about it.
All right, Craig, Magic, great game or the greatest game?
Great game.
Oh.
What's the greatest game?
I'm not sure the people who make Magic would like to hear this.
Oh. Well, you know what? We
say fuck them.
This is a controversial show.
All right.
Yeah,
a game I really enjoyed and now can't find anyone to play with because it's been canceled because it did not sell as much as this game was Dreamblade. I really, really like Dreamblade.
Dreamblade, and this was another collectible card game?
It was a collectible miniatures game.
Oh.
Played on a board. You can play it in 45 minutes to about an hour with many similar characteristics to Magic. In fact, if I'd never played Magic, I probably wouldn't have ever wrapped my head around or been interested in playing.
Gateway drug.
Well, since playing Magic, it's given me such a deeper appreciation of all game design, period.
Mm-hmm.
And, it helped me to think critically about playing other games much more than I had in the past.
Yes, because in Magic, you take a more active role in designing the type of game you're going to experience because you're choosing cards to put in your deck, which was, like you said, a very new element when Magic first came out.
Wow.
Mm. However long ago that was. You guys have any stats on when this originated?
Magic.
Just had its 20th anniversary, right?
Anniversary?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's an anniversary birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Magic is 20 years old.
20 years young.
20 years young. Started in like 93, 94.
Still can't buy it a drink, though.
The first cards came out, and then it was a few years before cards were actually readily available where you could actually go in stores and find them. Before then, it was pretty hard to find.
I think Magic is drinking age now because last year was its 20th anniversary. And then so this year it's 21st anniversary.
Guys, I don't think Magic wants to drink.
I think Ben, stop pushing your agenda.
Just saying. Let Magic make its own decisions.
to take a moment to relive a memory that we all experienced last night. Megan had a few drinks, and Ben decided to try and ask a complex magic-related math questions. This is what happened.
Okay, I'm attacking you with a 6-6 trampler.
Okay.
You have an 0-2 flyer that prevents all combat damage dealt to it and by it.
Okay.
All right.
My trampler only deals 2 damage to the fog bank and 4 damage to me, because you only have to assign damage equal to how much would kill the creature.
I'm not done. I've bestowed lure onto it, so it has +1/+1 on lure. So it's a 7/7 lure trampler. You have a fog bank. It's an 0/2. You have a 1/4 with double strike. I give my trampler death touch after first strike damage.
I'm dealing 5 damage to you, 1 damage to your fog bank, and 1 damage to that 1/4 blocker.
Okay. Now instead, I'm giving double strike to my 7/7 trampler, and then I give it death touch after first strike damage.
Okay, so it's a 7/7 trampler, but it's already dealt first strike damage. So 4 damage already killed your 1/4 blocker, and 2 damage already, quote-unquote, killed, but it's all damage has been prevented. So that's 6. So one damage of the first strike, and a full 7 of... Why did you give a death touch after damage is the real question I'm asking.
Okay.
So 8 damage total is my answer.
After blockers, after attackers, and before blockers, I Aether Vial in a hunted troll. So you get 4 1/1 blue fairy token creatures.
Okay.
I order the creatures fairy, fog bank, fairy, 1/4, fairy. Fairy. What happens?
Fairy. Wait, at what? Have I given this 7/7 double strike and have I given it death touch? Important question.
It's my 7/7.
Okay.
I've given it double strike.
Okay.
And then I'm going to give it death touch after first strike damage.
But you haven't given it death touch yet.
No.
And I've ordered blockers, fairy.
I've ordered blockers.
You've ordered blockers, 1/1, 1/4.
No. 1/4, 0/2. No, sorry. 1/1, 0/2, 1/1, 1/4, 1/1, 1/1.
Okay, so during first strike damage, I kill the 1/1, the 1/4, the 1/1.
Nope.
And I
nope. Nope. Wrong.
I am correct, and I don't kill the 0/2. Then during during regular after first strike damage, there's the 0/2, which whatever I still have to deal 1 damage to,
nope.
And then the 3/1/1.
Nope. Nope.
I'm pretty sure I'm correct.
No, you're wrong.
Okay.
We're gonna
if I'm wrong, it's only because you haven't written down the details and I cannot hold them in my head.
Okay. 1/1, 0/2, 1/1, 1/4.
You're going to... Oh, my God! Oh, my God, Megan! You're going to listen to this again and realize that you have changed the order of blockers multiple times, because the first time you said 1/1, 1/4, 1/1, 0/2, 1/1, 1/1, 1/1.
And then I said 1/4, 0/2, and then I said, sorry, 1/1, 0/2, 1/1, 1/4, 1/1, 1/1.
Okay, so in that case, I kill the 1/1. I assign 2 damage to the 0/2. I assign 1 damage to the 1/1. And then I only assign 3 damage to the 1/4. So I didn't do a very good job assigning damage to blockers.
What do you mean? That's how I ordered them.
well, why did I order them that way? I should have ordered them the 1/4 at the very end so that when I gave death touch to my creature after first strike damage, it only killed that 1/4 with 1 point of damage as opposed to 4 points of damage, and then I could trample over for 3 as opposed to now I think I can only trample over for 1.
I'm the one who's attacking.
Oh, I get it.
I just keep identifying as the attacker because it makes it easier. I don't know that I would have blocked this way. This seems an unfortunate block from my point of view.
He has lure.
Balls.
Oh, fair. Fair. I'll be right back.
Megan is now going to pee. She is breaking the seal in her drunken night of revelry.
Also, she doesn't have to assign. You don't have to assign anything to the O2. It was already dealt lethal. On second strike, you don't have to deal anything to it.
I don't think I was saying that I had to do that.
Yes, she was.
Mayan super drunk. Whew, all
right. Okay, listener, you tell us who was right. Did I change the order of the blockers?
I am sure that I was right.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bold statement.
I was correct.
Bold statement.
Let us know who you think was correct by tweeting at MTAcast.
M15, you guys, it's coming up. M15, Craig, when I say M15, what do you think I'm talking about?
Fighter jet.
Nice. Yeah, man.
Yeah, good.
What do you think about the government funding of the new M15 fighter jet, Craig?
I feel like... Yeah, Craig.
Controversial topics.
I mean, it's good for Boeing, but that's about it. Am I right?
We really need another...
Another fighter jet?
Don't we have enough fighter jets?
Well, you could say the same thing about M15, which is another magic set. Don't we have enough?
We never have enough, you guys.
So M14.
M14.
M14 was making an ass first magic corset. Now we got M15.
M15 is short for Magic 2015. So it's the new kind of basic core set. That will be out this summer.
Yes.
Not too long from now.
No. Time's a ticking down to when it's coming out. And it's very basic. So reminder text is on all of the cards. So if there's a special ability that a card has, like say flying, the cards remind you what flying means. And it's for, they print it this way so that players who are kind of trying to ease into the game can have an easier time of it.
It's like a, you know. It's kind of the hot tub of magic sets you can dip your toe in.
Sure. Well, you can really dip your toe into anything, Ben.
I never thought about it that
tub
way.
Tub filled with gack.
I'm going to take advantage of that. Thank you, Marie.
I like the reservoir on underneath an air conditioner where it's been leaking water.
You can
do
that.
I'm just naming places that you can dip your toe into.
The vat that turned the Joker all weird. You can dip your toe into that.
Yeah. Just
have a Joker toe.
I would not recommend
Joker toe!
Actually, I think that... Isn't that one of the new cards in the M15?
Yeah, Joker toe.
Joker toe.
Joker toe. Writing it down. Joker toe.
Yeah, it's a riff on the Jester's Cap from Ice Age.
Oh, deep cut. So M15, we've experienced one core set before, M14. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it personally because it was very slow playing a draft.
Are you kidding? I loved it.
Everybody else loved it.
You just draft blue. Just
but not all core sets will be like that, Maria.
Okay, all right.
I would imagine they will make this one different on purpose.
Okay.
Just to give people a different experience than
M14.
But I want so many counter spells, you guys.
We'll see.
We'll see, Megan. Some of the cards have been spoiled already. You can Google M15 Magic Spoilers, and you can look at some of them. And they're releasing them from time to time. So we've had some big fat fatties that they've released.
Oh, yeah, we have.
Who's going to take me home tonight?
Down beside that red firelight. You're going to give it all.
Big green fatties, you make my blocking creatures all right.
Yeah, boom, 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 doo. You guys, we'll be opening for Queen in Chicago later this month. So, Megan, are you excited by what you've seen so far?
You know, so far, I have not seen enough counter spells. But besides that, sure.
Okay.
I think there's a really funny looking card, which is a 7/2.
Oh, yeah, that one that comes back for you.
Phyto Titan?
Phyto-Titan.
He's a fighting titan.
Plant elemental creature. Oh, man.
Have I ever seen a plant elemental?
He looks like, you know, in the Planet of the Apes movie where it ended and then there was like a spoiler alert.
Yeah, yeah.
There
that
was a,
movie ended?
There was a... There's like an apified statue of Lincoln. Like
Liberty!
He's
talking the new movies.
Oh, the new ones.
The new ones. There was Abraham Lincoln, but instead of being a human, he was an ape. And that's how the movie ended. And it was like, what the fuck? That's what this looks like if instead
like
monkey of
monkeys, Lincoln?
It was like plant. Plants.
So it looks like a plant Lincoln?
Yeah, it looks like
yeah,
a plant
it does.
Lincoln. Or maybe plants just overgrew. The Lincoln Monument.
Let me see.
Terrifying. That's what we were.
Phyto-Titan!
I mean, when plants took over the world in M. Night Shyamalan's movie.
Now, spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. That movie's terrible. Don't see it.
Yeah, alright.
Oh, is this
spoiler alert, you never see that movie.
The Happening, yes. Yes. It's a 7-2. I mean, how often. Is there a creature that's a 7-2?
A 7-2? How many 7-2s are there?
Yeah. Listener, right now I want you to make a guess in your little brain skulls. How many 7-2s do you think there have been over the history of magic? Megan, go.
4.
Craig.
300.
Okay, I'm going to go right in the middle. I'm going to say there have been
152,000.
And this 7-2 does something cool because when he dies, he comes right on back.
Okay, what are the guesses?
But he's all tapped.
I said 2.
I said
4.
Four.
Craig?
300.
Okay.
All right.
Ben, did you already guess or do you already know?
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. Oh, do I already know?
Yeah.
7-2s? I think we have 5-7. I'm going to say 3.
Okay. Dangerous.
There's one!
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 Yeah, big winner!
The name of the only current existing 7-2 is... Thunderblust.
That is a really funny name.
And it looks like a storm. It's like a storm dragon.
Maria,
it's like a dragon made out of storm clouds.
Maria, stop getting all thunderblusted.
I can't help it. He's so cute. I'm thunderblusted.
It's so cute and it's so stormy out right now.
So my Price of Right standard, none of us won.
Yeah, we all lost.
We all lost.
I guess so.
$1. Thunderblust is a 7-2 with haste. Where he has trample as long as he's a -1/-1 counter, and he has persist. So when he dies, it comes back. I think this card is in cubes sometimes.
Oh, yeah. It kind of seems like a cool card. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, that's a good deal.
Yeah. So this new 7-2 is kind of the same. He's got persist as well, but permanent persist. He'll come back every time, but he's always tapped.
More persistent.
But he's tapped.
Oh, and he doesn't come back until the next beginning of the next upkeep.
Oh.
So is he going to have summoning sickness?
He will, but he'll also be tapped.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't even matter.
So when he dies, you're going to get him back on your next turn, but it's going to be another turn before you get to do anything with him.
Oh, okay.
So the name of this card is going to be like, well, how can I deal with this for several turns while I just attempt to kill my opponent while he's gone?
Yeah.
You guys, while we were talking about the core set, going back to our previous conversation about combo decks... Remember last year in M14, there was a combo that you could draft that had the Bog Brew Witch, her cauldron, and the Festering Newt.
Yes.
Yeah, and she lets you search for the cauldron and the newt.
Yes.
Get them out of your deck.
Exactly. And then the newt you could sack to the cauldron, and then I think your opponent loses 4 life and you gain 4.
I drafted this deck, actually. I did
Ooh.
It. And I had also several other parts of that comboed out well together. So I had the artifact that made goat tokens, which I could sack. Goat token, Craig.
Trading post.
You love it. Trading post. Yeah, I had trading post. And I also had the card that makes angels upon sacking. So, like, I had the most insane combo deck I've ever drafted in that M14 draft. That included all that stuff.
I'm just saying, I feel like you drafted a deck with a lot of sack outlets.
How does the term sack outlet make you feel, Craig?
It makes me think of buying... purses at an outlet mall.
Yeah, or like a defective burlap.
Yeah.
Look, I can't afford regular burlap sacks, you guys. I need to go.
I need to go to sack outlet.
I need to go buy a lopsided burlap sack. I got a I got a lot of hooligans to round up and leave in sacks.
I need to get one where the stitching is maybe a little bit off.
A little off. You guys, I worked at an outlet store.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it was a Gap outlet store. Uh-huh. And in college. And we got all the goods in from overseas, and we opened the boxes on the first day the store was opening, and bats flew out of them. One box had a snake in it, and another one we were putting on the rack, and moths came out at our faces.
You should have started a zoo.
The worst zoo ever.
Come see the snakes, the bats, and the moths.
Oh, God, it was terrifying.
You opened a whole ecosystem.
We could have started a new planet. We could have terraformed with those animals alone.
Phytotitan.
Phytotitan. Any cards that draw your fancy?
Oh, I like the... What's the creature? It's a 1/1 for 1 black mana. And then... remind me, it's
what
some
else
sort
do you
of,
need?
It's a human assassin.
Typhoid rats.
No, not typhoid rats.
Is it the one that you can pay something and it gets death touch?
No, it's the human assassin.
I think you're making up this card.
No, I'm not.
Oh, it's a 2/1 for 3 mana.
And it was what I was talking about.
Wait, what?
Zathrid Slyblade.
It's kind of cool.
What a fucking name is that? Creature human assassin, hexproof. For 4 mana until end of turn, Zathrid Slyblade loses hexproof and gains first strike and death touch. Whoa, and it's a 2/1.
That's so
this
cool.
This is sweet, but this is not the creature I was talking about.
There's no other possible card you could be talking about.
Let me look at your computer.
Yeah. Oh, it's this one right there.
Yeah, it's the one right above it.
Cruel Sadist, Human Assassin, 1 mana, 1/1. 1 tap, pay 1 life, put a +1/+1 counter on Cruel Sadist. Oh, not going to be a 1/1 for long.
No.
2 tap, remove X +1/+1 counters from Cruel Sadist. Cruel Sadist deals X damage to target creature.
So it's like she's That's cutting herself. She's building up skin to cut her.
Yeah, she's building up skin, and then she turns that skin into a gun.
My skin gun. Okay.
There's a movie, Existenz.
Where they turn skin into guns?
There's a bone
really?
Gun. Bone gun.
Bone Check gun.
Oh.
I feel like we're
I've
like
shot that. Off my bone before.
Two proof. Of those
We require
episode.
Proof.
Two of those
You want proof
episode.
Of me shooting off my bone?
No.
Please. No.
Please no.
No, 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 no.
Please
no. No. No.
If anyone doesn't believe that I've shot off my bone, send me a tweet.
Oh my God. We're going to get the wrong kind of people.
Agreed.
Or the right kind. Ben, you like any of these M15?
I really like the art on Soul of Ravnica. Have
that's
you seen
beautiful.
It? We saw this card earlier. We talked about this earlier.
Oh, wow. That's really pretty.
But he looks super cool. He's like a plasma man with plasma hands, and that's what I've always wanted to be.
They're like plasma pinchers.
Ben, what are you going to do with your plasma hands?
I'm going to hold things and melt them.
Oh.
This sounds like a lot of power and a lot of responsibility.
It also sounds a little King Midas-y because you can never touch your loved ones ever again, lest you melt them.
Or your bone.
Or your...
Do you even have bones as a plasma man?
I think, aren't they
Once
plasma?
I become a plasma man, I've given up my chance to own my bone.
It's just plasma down there.
It's just all plasma everywhere.
Oh, God. Okay, I guess that's all we're going to say in this.
I guess that's all we're going to say. Charging Rhino, this is going to be a sweet card.
What's that one?
It's a 4/4 for 5, and it can't be blocked by more than one creature. How do you deal with that?
Wall
of Fire?
It.
Wall of Fire?
Kill it.
Have you guys ever played Wall of Fire?
Mm-mm.
This is an old card. It's a defender. It's a wall. It can't attack. And you can pay red. You have a +1/+0. And it's an 0/5.
Oh.
It's not an exciting card.
No.
But it is a card. It
doesn't seem very red.
Nah. Mm. It has fire breathing.
Mm-hmm. Megan, stop crunching your ice into the microphone. let us know what cards you're liking out here, listeners. We'd love to hear.
Have you guys ever played with Cone of Flame?
No, it's Cone of Flame.
Okay, this card's awesome. You guys are going to enjoy this card. This is an uncommon, probably an uncommon. It costs 5 mana. Cone of Flame deals 1 damage to target creature or player, 2 damage to another target creature or player, and 3 damage to a third target creature
God.
Or player.
Oh my God. That's
How
6
much
damage.
Does it cost?
5.
That's insane.
Hmm.
So you get to deal six damage total. You can potentially kill three creatures with one spell.
Look at Titanic Growth!
Titanic Growth says target creature gets +4/+4 until end of turn. It costs one green, and it's an instant.
You guys, I don't even need to see the rest of the set. That is the cutest card.
This is the art from M13. We don't know if this is the art that will be on the M15 version.
But it's adorable!
It's a glowing green fox eyes.
That's like, wow, that's a lot of plus plus.
Grr.
It is a lot of plus plus. This is like the super trick. It's gonna beat all the other tricks.
It's the trick that beats all other tricks.
And this is interesting for Megan and I because this is the first time we're seeing cards that we've played with previously come back into a set.
Oh, say what?
Like Divine Favor. We've encountered that card before.
Yeah, or
we
like...
have?
Yes. One and a white for enchant creature, and when it comes in the battlefield, you gain 3 life, enchant creature +1/+3.
Oh, yep.
Also cards like Welkin Turn.
Yep, there's Vaporkin.
Which is basically Vaporkin, but it's a bird instead of an elemental. But same card.
Bird!
So, like, we're going to be, like, already coming into this set with a little bit of background knowledge about these dudes. Lava Axe.
You'll have opinions about how good these cards used to be, and that'll be your baseline. And maybe it's still true based on the other cards in the set. Or maybe not.
Soul Mender, like, still not going to play him.
Good call.
Okay.
I'll just say that Magic... guys, Magic 15 is coming out. The pre-release events are July 12th and 13th. Mm-hmm. Still look forward to that. Then it's coming out. The full release is on the 18th. There's launch events going on that weekend. And it's coming to Magic Online July 25th for pre-release events.
Holy cow.
So check it out. Are you guys looking forward to it? I'm going to be looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'll be excited.
I like
Although,
all pre-release.
It's not like... I feel like last year I was more excited because Dragon's Maze could be just be such a shit show to draft.
Oh, it was pretty awful.
It was just confusing and really strange. But I've really been enjoying Journey into Nyx, the full Theros block draft. Mm-hmm. I think it's one that I really enjoy. So I am excited... I am less excited than I was last year.
What do you think, Craig?
I'm equally as excited as I was last year.
Nice.
Actually, no, that's not true. I'm way more excited.
Because you're hearing about it.
Because I actually know something's happening.
That's true.
You know, and I'm curious about playing with some of these cards if I...
Are we reigniting your fire?
I'm interested in playing with people who are actively playing this game.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, we did our job.
Cool.
Interested in reigniting your Planeswalker spark?
Oh. Craig, do you know what a Planeswalker spark is?
No idea.
Don't worry.
That's like your... It's when your mutant abilities come online. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that.
Okay.
Except you get to travel to other planes or dimensions.
Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
Has this game ever gone beyond a one-player versus one-player setup?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
There are many multiplayer formats. I play basically none of them.
There's Commander or EDH, which is four people.
Yeah, that's one of the more popular formats. They also have different restrictions on the deck. The deck they restrict it to like one of each card. And then...
there's 100 cards.
There's a 100-card deck. Mm-hmm. And you get to pick a commander who is like starts in your command zone, and you can cast him from the command zone. And then when he dies, he like goes back to your command zone.
It's real weird.
Real weird.
There's Two-Headed Giant, where you have two people playing against two other people.
Also, in Commander, you start with a lot more life, so the games go way longer, and you get to do crazier things. That's the main selling point. Yeah. People love to do
crazy things.
Put the crazy cards in their deck, watch crazy shit happen.
Wizards just came out with the first multiplayer draft format, which is called Conspiracy. So it's a booster draft where you open boosters and you pick cards and pass them. And then at the end of that, you play, you separate into two different four-person groups and play each other.
You know what? When is Magic Online going to let us play Two-Headed Giant?
Never.
I'm like thinking about how that would work.
They can't even make regular Magic run correctly.
The way Two-Headed Giant works is you have two teams of two, and each team is sharing a turn, but they have their own decks. So they'll draw at the same time. Play out lands and creatures at the same time, and they have a shared life total.
Mm.
And so you attack your opponent, and you start at 30 life, and
see what happens.
Yeah. So there are a lot of fun multiplayer formats. I like Two-Headed Giant the best. The big thing I don't like is that if it's a free for all, then it gets to be very political. Like, I'm going to, you know, attack you because you killed my creature, or vice versa. And,
And if there's
that's
one
just
thing,
not the game I want to play.
If there's one thing we know about Ben, he's not very good at being political.
Yeah, he ran for state senate, and you got crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Al Franken just took
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha.
That would be U.S. Senate, but...
Whatever. When you said state senate, I thought you meant...
Yeah,
the
for the
Senate,
state.
For the state.
But, like, our state.
Are all senators state senators?
Our state's senators.
Not every senator's not a state senator. Anyway.
But aren't they, though? I mean, if you think about it correctly,
yeah.
Aren't
if
they?
You meet a senator and you ask him, what's your state? See, like, how dare
he's
you?
Gonna say, he's gonna
how
say
dare you?
I'm a U.S. senator.
I mean, aren't all humans from states? Assuming they're from the U.S., which that's all I know.
Every human is from a state. Like,
but not every state has a human.
Whatever state they were in before they became a person. Depending on your spiritual beliefs, that could be almost anything.
Wow, that's super deep. That's this deep.
We've never gotten so deep on the show.
Wow.
I blame me.
I don't know if we're going to be able to get back. I think we're stuck down here now.
Oh, it's dark.
Sorry, you guys. Now we're just going to talk philosophy for the next
hour. If we never record another episode, send help.
We are currently down at the bottom of a deep philosophical hole that smells like plasma bone.
Mmm.
Gross.
Smells like real plasma bone in this hole.
Flavortext Theater presents Pick, Lick, or Flick. We have just opened a pack of cards on Magic Online, and we are going to choose which of these cards out of these packs we'd like to pick, put in our deck, which cards we'd like to lick, means we like them, but they might not be the best card, and which cards we want to flick. Craig's going to be playing along. Keep in mind, he has absolutely no knowledge of Journey into Nyx. So, Ben, what are our first three cards going up against each other?
The first three cards we have are... Seder Hoplite.
Uh-huh. Oh. Got it.
Supply Line Cranes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Thassa's Devourer.
Oh. Thassa's Devourer.
I've already got it, guys.
Okay.
Craig's
I've
looking.
I've made up my mind.
It's these three, Craig.
Yes.
We got a 2/4 that gives something +1/+1 on when it enters the battlefield flying.
Mm-hmm.
Seder Hoplite, 1/1. When something targets it, it gets a 1/1 counter. And Thassa's Devourer, which is Constellation. So whenever another enchantment enters the battlefield, target player mills.
And Thassa's Devourer is both a creature and an enchantment.
Yes.
Well, that's why I'm going to pick that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a big tentacly beast, and those are usually pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to pick that one.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to lick the Seder. So.
Okay, we won't ask why.
Yep, you look like a Seder licker, I have to say.
And then I'll flick the other one.
Supply Line Cranes.
Flick those cranes?
Flick the cranes.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
All right.
Flick the cranes.
I am going to pick the cranes,
lick
the devourer,
flick
the hoplite.
I'm on board. I'm on the same licking plan.
Oh, I am on a different licking plan.
I
want
to lick that tentacle and mill some cards.
I'm picking the Supply Line Cranes. I'm a hoplite licker as well.
Oh.
I have an unnatural love that card ever since I built a deck with like three of them and just super...
You mean a Seder licker.
I'm a Seder licker. Yeah, and I'm going to flick that Devourer because I don't give a fuck about a 2/6.
What is so good in the control deck?
Whatever.
We're never going to get there. We're never going to get to turn 5.
Stone
You're
going
to be dead
You're
three
be
times.
You're going to be dead, buddy. You're going to be dead.
All right.
Good. What's up next?
We've got... Humbler of Mortals.
Ooh.
Font of Return.
Uh-huh.
Flame Speaker's Will.
Oh, God.
You're really putting me to the test here.
We've got all enchantments here. Flame Speaker's Will is an aura. It's an enchant creature. You put it on a creature, it gets +1/+1. If you deal damage to an opponent, you can sacrifice it and destroy target artifacts. So it's a little boost. Sometimes you get to break an artifact.
Probably never, though.
And Font of Return?
Font of Return costs 1 and a black for, you can...
Pay 4.
Crack it for 4 and sacrifice it, and you get to return up to three target creatures from your graveyard. Put them back in your hand.
That's a lot of creatures. You got creatures in your graveyard.
Yeah. That's a lot of dudes.
Humbler of Mortals, 4 green. It's a 5/5. Enchantment creature, Constellation. Whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield, all of your creatures get trample.
Tramp.
Wow.
They get those tramp stamps.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got to pick one. We got to lick one.
All right, Craig.
And we're going to flick one.
Moment of truth.
Okay. Here's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I'm gonna lick this this Hunter of Mortals.
Okay.
Yeah. I am going to...
It's a humbler. It's a humbler of mortals.
Oh.
But
does that change your mind? No.
Mortals need some humbling.
Yeah.
So, what's this guy here?
Flame Speaker's Will.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Flame Speaker's Will. Because it's cool.
All right.
I can't remember. I can't see it.
Janvier's +1/+1.
+1/+1, but... Oh, all creatures. Yeah, sure. Why wouldn't you want that? Just get a little boost before a nice...
The enchanted creature gets +1/+1.
Yes.
Yeah. And then...
flicking that font.
Yep.
All right.
Because it has the word font in its card.
You don't like fonts?
Mm-mm.
Man, I love fonts. I was just thinking about how much I love fonts the other day, like the typography.
I mean, anyway. I really like fountains.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I'm going to have to go with picking the humbler, licking the font, and flicking that flame speaker as well.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm doing.
I think that is the correct decision. I definitely want to lick the font because I feel like it
could do it. It could do so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it likes it weird, if you know what I mean.
I have to say, I can't really tell what's going on in that Humbler Mortals art. Like, that's like just some...
It's just smashing some shit
just
up.
It's some giant
It looks
face.
Like it's a little smiley face right there. With two orange eyes and a smile.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Ready to get humbled?
Next up,
we've got... A Crow and Mastiff.
Puppy Dog.
The Hound. We also have Cast into Darkness.
Yep.
And we have Desecration Plague.
So Desecration Plague. Destroy target enchantment or land. There's a weird spider doing a thing.
Yeah, up there. I think that's probably not a spider.
What do you think that is?
I think it's a locust. The traditional plague insect.
I believe in spider plague. My religion.
We also have Cast into Darkness. This is a 2-mana aura. It enchants a creature, and enchanted creature gets -2/-0, and can't block. And man, someone is like freaking out. He's like melting up.
He's definitely been touched
by a plasma hand for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A sun has passed really close overhead, this guy. So he's melting
he's
and being
melting
pulled
up.
Into it by the gravitational pull.
He is
maybe,
melting and evaporating.
Maybe this is not a guy. Maybe it's more of a wax dummy.
It's also reminiscent of the box art for the movie Scanners.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, sure.
Oh.
And a Crone Mastiff.
3 and a white for a 2/2 creature hound for a white tap, and you can tap target creature.
All right, Craig, how are you feeling? How are you feeling right now?
How you picking? How you licking? How you flicking?
All right, I'm going to attempt to not be the only odd man out who doesn't really know what he's talking about. You know what? I'm gonna flick the Desecration Plague.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
nice. Done, I think we all agree. You
know? We agree.
Yeah.
We agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's kind of boring.
Good job.
Super boring.
I am gonna lick the Mastiff.
Ooh.
Licking the dog.
It just to tap a target.
Enough dogs have probably licked you.
Yeah. It's time to lick back. You know. Yeah. And I'm not gonna ask either. I'm just gonna get right in its face and lick. And then cast into darkness. It just seems like a good plan for some sort of offensive, defensive move. You know,
you're
really messing with people's shit, and they're melting up.
They're melting up.
Good. Perfectly respectable.
And I think the rest of us at this table would actually pick a Crow and Mastiff, lick Cast into Darkness, and flick Desecration Plague.
Yeah, I think that's
true. I think it's real close. Cast into Darkness
is pretty close.
We
all know you love Cast into Darkness, Megan.
I do.
You really do.
Yeah. So in this set, I think Crow Mastiff is still slightly better because it can tap down any creature.
Any creature.
And there's a lot of crazy shit going on in this set.
Oh.
A lot of creatures can get super monstrous big.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And Cast into Darkness is more of a like offensive tempo card.
Yeah.
Fits really good in certain decks, but Mastiff is just going to be good everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time. All right, what do we got?
All right, we got one more, guys.
All right, let's do it.
Would you... lick squelching leeches?
Never. Let me just say, fucking never.
Banishing light?
Mm-hmm.
Or swarmborn giant?
Oh my god.
Oh, this is really a difficult.
Not hard.
Yeah.
This one's not
guys,
hard.
I'm gonna up the game. I'm gonna change this from pick lick or flick to pick lick flick or shit on. We're gonna add the rare from our pack, Hall of Triumph.
Pick lick flick or shit.
It is a so we have Hall of Triumph, the legendary artifact, and it, when it comes into the battlefield, choose a color. Creatures you control of the chosen color get +1/+1.
Mm-hmm.
Or Banishing Light. It is an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, exile target non-land permanent an opponent controls until Banishing Light leaves the battlefield. Just allow me to translate that for Craig.
Yes.
Since he has not played in a while. Mm-hmm. When Banishing Light comes into play, remove target non-land permanent an opponent controls from the game until Banishing Light leaves play.
What about Barry? Would everyone said Barry?
Oh, Barry. Squelching Leeches. This is a ground nightmare, Craig. It has power and toughness equal to the number of swamps you control.
Yep.
I love nightmares.
So the more swamps you got, the bigger he is. Huh? And Swarmborn Giant, this card is fucking... What is this card?
Oh, my God.
This is a 4-mana 6/6. That's a fucking steal. However, if you're dealt combat damage, sacrifice Swarmborn Giant. And you can also pay 6 mana to turn him into an 8/8. He has Monstrosity 2, so he can turn into an 8/8 if you pay 6 mana. And if he has Monstrous, it gains Reach, so it can block creatures applying.
Mm.
So, guys, which one do you want to pick? What are you going to lick? What are you going to flick? And what are you going to shit upon?
Great. Craig.
Oh, wow.
How are you feeling?
It's hard enough to even remember them. I think I'm going to shit on this light.
Okay.
Yeah.
Explain yourself. Light. Explain yourself.
Take a big old dump.
It just seems too complicated, and it doesn't seem like it has much immediate application. It's not it doesn't seem flexible to me.
Yeah, and what's going on in this card? Is the person with the weird bola, like, banishing something else? Or
you guys,
is that person being banished?
I don't say it often, but I would want to play him out of that art. I like that art.
That's pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet. Really, but what's going on?
Beautiful.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. But it's pretty, whatever it is.
There's, like, a space octopus, space squid, like, eating.
There is a space octopus.
Yeah. All right. So that's your shit, Banishing Light.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So let's look at flicking. I can't. Okay. Actually, I'm going to go back to pick. I'm going to pick that big green giant.
Okay.
The Swarmborn Giant.
Nice.
I just think, you know, if you get an advantage early by tapping his abilities and beefing him up,
get him.
You might gain some ground.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm creating.
Yeah.
All right. So let's...
Yeah, squelching leeches.
I'm going to lick some leeches.
Gross.
Yep, I'm going to do that.
Totally.
No. You got to lick some creatures.
Sometimes you got to know when to lick them.
Know when to stick them.
Find out which have hallucinogenic properties.
Yeah.
So,
You're flicking Hall of Triumph.
Yep. Just because it's the last card that I have to decide anything on. And that's
man.
You got it.
You can only have one because it's legendary, so why bother?
Yeah.
Why bother?
It seems lame for a legendary.
Yeah. All right. What do you think, Megan?
I think I'm going... I would pick Banishing Light.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to flick Hall of... No, I'm going to lick Hall of Triumph just to avoid the thought of even licking leeches. Like, I don't even want... I can't even begin to think about licking leeches.
Are you going
to
try to flick those leeches?
I'm going
to
flick leeches.
Off of your body?
Because
that's a lot...
It.
It's going to be a lot
Stop
of flicking
it.
Before you get all the leeches.
Oh, yeah, you're probably
going to
be dead long before
Stop
you get them all
okay.
off.
And I'm going to shit on that Swarmborn Giant.
For sure.
Okay. You agree, Maria?
I'm picking Banishing Light. I'm going to lick those leeches. I'm going to flick Hall of Triumph and take a massive dump on Swarmborn Giant.
Wow, okay. I believe that Banishing Light is the pick. This card is super good. It can exile anything. That's what makes it so good, is it can just kind of deal with anything, no matter what card your opponent has. You can play this and it's like, that card is gone. And maybe they can kill your Banishing Light, but you know what? A lot of times they can't.
Nope.
The next card, wow. The thing is, Banishing Light is so good, and all the rest of these cards are really just bad. Mm-hmm. The Swarmborn Giant is really potentially powerful, but I've only had it played against me once, and it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I experimented with it. I put two in a deck that I played just to see what would happen. It was absolutely awful every single time.
Yeah.
I had someone play this against me, and I was like, oh, I don't care.
Yeah, I think what it is there's so many different combat tricks, things that surprises you can play after your opponent blocks, that blocking is pretty bad in the set. And this card basically forces you to block all the time. And you can always, like, leave it back to block, but then why did you play a 6-6?
Yeah.
If you just want to block with it all day.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I don't know, you think he's worse than Squelching Leeches?
Well, I guess so.
Someday I want to live the mono-black Squelching Leeches dream.
Okay, so you want to take him just in case you think he has more upside.
I do believe that he has more upside than the Swarmborn Giant.
Yeah. The thing about the Swarmborn Giant is, it's like, whenever you're dealt damage, you sacrifice it. So then, any way your opponent has to deal you combat damage,
it becomes
a removal spell for this card.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of ways to do it. There's a lot of ways. He almost turns, when my opponent cast it, I was like, oh, well, now like all of my spells are removal spells, so I'll just use one and kill that shit right away. And you get to damage your opponent too, which isn't that what Magic is about?
Yeah.
So Leeches has a lot of upside. Hall of Triumph, no good?
I don't know how I feel about this card.
I don't know.
Somebody played against me once.
This would be good in the mono black dream.
It was fairly good.
Yeah. I had someone play it against me once in a heavy green deck.
Yeah.
Because, you know, green creatures need to be bigger.
Yeah.
But it was actually, it was very good.
Yeah.
The biggest downside to this card is that if you don't have a lot of creatures out, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, like, who cares?
If you only have one creature out, it just gives one creature +1/+1, at which point you might as well have a Flame Speaker's Bell or any other enchantment in this set.
So, like, I'm not first picking it.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know what pick it will go.
I think it's pretty strong if your deck does lean heavily towards one color.
Yeah.
It's not insane.
Mm-hmm.
But playable. Better than Leeches? Pretty good in that mono black deck.
I don't know.
It might be better than Leeches.
I'll say as a first pick, it's better than Leeches as a first pick.
I think it goes
in any colored deck, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And if you end up with a mono black deck, you probably rather have Hall of Triumph than Squelching Leeches anyway.
That's true.
But very bad against black.
Yeah.
Because your opponent's just kind of a lot of removal, a lot of ways to deal with shit.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
So we picked, we've licked, we flicked, we even defecated.
Yep. We did it all.
We sure did. We sure shit.
Thanks for playing, guys. For completists, there's also an aerial formation in the pack that we tattooed on our buttocks.
That's not the worst magic tattoo that you can have.
No, you could do worse. What's the worst magic tattoo you could have?
Squelching Leeches?
Squelching Leeches?
Brain Maggot.
I think I'm going to say the worst.
Okay, let's figure this out.
The worst magic art tattoo you could get is Presence of the Master. Have you guys seen this card?
Oh.
No.
I'm going to show you the art for this card. Boom! It's Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
In like a weird mosaic of scientific concepts.
What if you were a science person?
I could see getting a tattoo of Albert Einstein.
But just not that
one. Not this,
one.
Like, comic art version.
He looks so coy.
It also has a bit of a
Grateful Dead kind of feel.
You can see that
in a dead bar.
I
didn't see you there. Let me put on my pants.
Oh, you're seeing me because someone's naked.
That's my guess. That might be it.
We'll have to put that in the rotation next to cutest card of the set.
Oh, worst tattoo?
Worst tattoo.
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
All right.
So I thought of a create a card real quick for Joker Toe.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Joker's Toe. It is 2 and a green for a 1/1 with lure. For 5 and a green, you can tap it and sack it to give target creature lure until end of turn.
Oh. All right, so how much? 5 and a green to tap and sack it?
Yeah, that's probably not enough.
No, I mean, that's pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I would say the only problem with that card is how... Do you really sack green creatures that often?
No.
What would you... Well, you can't have them live after that. That's too good.
Yeah.
My Joker's Toe is 2 is a 3 mana artifact. And you, it's basically Perplexing Chimera. Except it's just an artifact. And you can switch control of that and a spell.
Okay, I've got tweaks for both.
Okay.
Megan, yours, so whenever someone casts a spell, you randomly determine who will control the spell.
Oh, that's great.
Determine new targets.
Yes. Oh my God.
Love it.
So if it's a creature, you roll a die, someone gets a creature. If it's a kill spell, you roll the die, someone gets to decide who to kill.
I love that, actually. I love it. That's really cool.
And then with the lure creature, I think instead of sacrificing it, you're like, you pay 5 and tap it to fight it with another creature, and then that creature gains lure.
Oh, thank you. Oh, okay, good.
It's weird.
It is weird.
But it's very green.
You're going to fight your own 2 creatures.
You're going to fight your 1/1 against something. Probably
yours.
That's
kind of jokery, though.
Yeah.
Chaos.
It's like weird. It's a little weird.
I like that.
Craig, do you have a creative card for Joker Toe?
I don't. I just don't. I was thinking there'd be, last time I bought new cards was spores were brand new.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you could just make it a spore?
Yeah.
So Joker Toe. It's just a,
spore.
It's just a 1/1 for 1.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this episode of Magic the Amateuring.
Yeah, we had a real fun time. Thanks for joining us, Craig.
Thank you, Craig.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime.
If you would like to get in contact with us, you can tweet at us at MTAcast, email us at magicTheAmateuring @gmail.com, or give us a call.
Yeah, give us a call.
Ben's phone number has several clues have been given out on the show.
It ends with a single digit. The last digit is just 1 digit.
That's not a clue.
Well, I don't want to give them out too fast.
Okay. You can listen to our show on iTunes. You can subscribe and download us every week. We post on Mondays.
We're also on Stitcher.
Stitcher.
And if you leave us a review, then we have a tradition here.
Yes, we
and
do.
We will make a pun based on your username.
It will not be a good pun, but it will be.
It will be terrible.
It will be a pun. Yep.
And Craig, do you have? Is there anywhere people can follow you if they liked you?
Yeah, just follow me down the street.
Follow me down the street.
And say what's up.
Craig is an improviser in Portland.
Yeah.
If you're in the Portland area, feel free to check out some improv, and chances are you may or may not see him on stage.
Chances are you may or may not.
No guarantees.
I think we can say it's 100%
no guarantees
that you will or won't see him.
You could think you saw him, but not be sure.
Okay.
Oh, God. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Later.